Okay, thank you very much, Claire, and thank you very much for coming to this seminar, and thank you very much for inviting me to this, you know, very great environment as a, you know, working place. So today I will talk about our recent work on reversing unitary and isometry operations, and this is a joint work with Akihito Soeda, who was a former assistant professor of my group, and who now works in NII, National Institute of Informatics, and also joint work with my supervisor Mio Murao at the University of Tokyo. Okay, so this is the outline of this talk. First, I will talk about the general perspective on my research topic, which is called the higher order content transformation. Maybe if you attended the last week's Mio seminar, maybe you might know some concept, but I will just briefly recap the concept. And then I will talk about our recent work, reversing qubit unitary operations. And finally, I will talk about some future works. Okay, but due to, I guess, the time limitation, my talk is basically focusing on the first result of my work. Okay. Okay, let me begin with the general perspective. So in this talk, I will talk about higher order quantum operation. And it is naturally defined from some classical counterparts. In the classical information processing, usually we consider the function which transforms a bit sequence to another bit sequence to proceed some information processing. But we can also consider the higher order version of this one, called higher order function, which takes a function as input and output the function. And a basic example of such a higher order function is utilizing functional programming. And a basic example is, for instance, like an iteration function, which takes which takes a function f to output fff. And in this talk, we consider the quantum counterpart of this concept. And quantum counterpart of function is a very easy one, which is a quantum operation, which is a transformation from quantum state to another quantum state. And the main topic of this talk is a higher order quantum operation, which is a quantum counterpart of higher order function. That is, which takes a quantum operation as input and a quantum operation as output. Okay, sorry. Okay, and in quantum information processing, we often consider the universal transformation, which is the following type of concept. The task, we consider the following type of task. We are given some unknown quantum state role, and we don't know the description of this quantum state. And somehow we apply some quantum operation to transform it to another quantum state without knowing the description of this quantum state. And the important thing is that this is not a point-to-point transformation like this, where the input state is known as, for instance, zero state. And a basic example of such kind of transformation is state cloning, which duplicates some unknown quantum state. And in this talk, we consider the higher order version of this one, which we call universal transformation of quantum operations, and which is defined like this. So we are given some unknown quantum operations instead of unknown quantum state. And we apply higher order quantum operation instead of quantum operation to transform it to another quantum operation, which is given as a function of the input operation. And especially we consider the case where the input state is given as an integer operations. The situation is like this. We are given some unknown integer operation, and we can utilize this unknown integer operation for n times. And the task is to implement the function of this interoperation. And the function is defined like we can consider various type of functions. And most basic example is like the function is given, if the function is given as U tensor M, this is the cloning of the interoperation. And we can also consider various kind of things. For instance, if you consider U star, it is an integer complex conjugation. And if you consider U inverse, then it is an integer inversion, that kind of stuff. Okay, basically this is the outline of this kind of research. Okay, but we defined higher order quantum operation in a very mathematical, you know, some conceptual way. But in a quantum information processing, we need to consider the implementation of such kind of transformation. And how do we implement this kind of transformation? The answer is we utilize a quantum circuit with some open slot, which is called quantum comb. And the quantum comb is represented by this kind of circuit. So in this circuit, each box represents quantum operation, and each wire represents the quantum systems. And we have some open slot in the quantum circuit where we can insert some input operation. And as a result, we obtain some output operation given like this. So in this sense, this defines the transformation from input operation to output operation. And we can also consider the multiple slot case to consider the transformation from multiple input operations. And in this case, we can also consider, so the concept is very simple, like we have multiple open slots and we insert multiple input operation to obtain the, to obtain the output operation. In this case, this defines the transformation from multiple input operation to a single output operation. Okay, this is a brief review. And by the way, if you have any questions, please interrupt me in time. Okay. And then I will go on to the recent result of my talk, which is on reversing interoperation. In this work, we consider the following type of task, which is called integer inversion. And the task is defined like this. We are given some unknown integer operation, and we can utilize it for n times. And the task is to implement its inverse operation without knowing the input operation. And this task can be considered as a simulation of a time inversion, because if the input integer operation is given as a Hamiltonian dynamics, its inverse operation corresponds to the opposite time direction. So it's kind of time inversion. And if you consider this kind of task, the most basic question is, what is the fundamental limitation of integer inversion? And previous work has answered this question in two directions. And the one direction is to show some Go result, which means constructing some protocol which implements the integer inversion. And another direction is to show some no-go result, which prohibits integer inversion from some quantum mechanics or something principle. And I will briefly explain how previous works worked and how the previous work didn't answer this question. Okay, first I will go on to the Go result. And in the previous work, the best known strategy to implement integer inversion utilizes the success or draw protocol, which is the following type of concept. We are given some input integer operation like this, and this protocol is some probabilistic protocol. And if the protocol succeeds, we obtain the inverse operation. And if it fails, we obtain the identity operation instead. And if it fails, we tried this protocol again and to improve the success probability exponentially close to one. Okay.
Is it heralded? You know which one?
Yes, it's heralded. So we are given, so the succeeded or not is given as a measurement outcome. Okay. And also a previous work has considered some no-go results for some restricted cases. And basically, previous work has considered two cases. The one case is that the parallel protocol, where the input operation should be utilized in parallel, like this circuit. And another one is a strong retrieve protocol, where we first store the information of the input operation to some quantum state, and then retrieve the inverse operation from this quantum state. And in these two cases, we already know the upper bound on the success probability, which is basically given as a 1 minus 1 over n, where n is the number of times we can use the input operation. And also, the previous work has calculated some numerical calculation to obtain some optimal success probability or optimal approximation error of the integer inversion for some small cases, for some small instances. But it's still less than one. Okay, so to summarize, In the previous work, we already obtained probabilistic protocol or some approximate protocol. So if we write this kind of table, these three corners are already solved. But this right bottom corner, which means the deterministic and exact protocol, remains an open problem, basically.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. These previous protocols, could you tell us a little bit about them? Did they use port-based teleportation?
Ah, yes. So basically, port-based teleportation is basically very related to this work. And okay, so maybe the easiest example is for the decost 2 case, then you can just utilize just a teleportation circuit, so not a port-based teleportation. And using a teleportation, basically using a trick of maximum entangled state, we can implement the U transpose using by applying U on the Bell state. And then, using this one, we can implement U transpose probabilistically. And then we already know that we can implement the complex conjugation of unitary operation. And then by composing these two tasks, we can implement the U transpose conjugate, which means U inverse.
And the probability of success for that is 1/4?
Okay. 1/4, yes, in that case. And to improve the success probability, we utilize the port-based teleportation.
Mm-hmm. And this paper's by David Trillo and Navasquez. Mm-hmm. They do something slightly different, right?
Yes, the strategy is very different. So in the paper written in the bottom, so here, so they basically utilize a special, their protocol only works for the decost 2 case, and they utilize some special property of the SU2, which is basically related to matrix polynomial ring. Yeah, and using that special strategy, we can also utilize this kind of successor dual protocol, but which is totally different, yes.
Yeah. And which one's better? Or are there different assumptions?
So as far as I remember, David's protocol, the success probability depends on the input operation. Whereas the protocol utilizing a teleportation does not depend on the input operation. And I should check very carefully, but I think in the worst case, the David's protocol can have success probability, which becomes zero. Mm-hmm. Whereas in this protocol, the success probability is promised to be strictly greater than one, greater than zero. Yeah. So it depends on which kind of situation we consider. But as a universality, I think using teleportation is better, but if we consider some kind of simple implementation, or if we consider figure merits, then maybe the protocol might be better. But it depends.
Okay,
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so basically, so as I explained, the existence of deterministic and exact protocol of integer inversion was an open problem in this field. And in this work, we answer this open problem positively for the case of just decost 2 case. And the main result is stated like this. So we consider the input operation. We consider a case where the input operation is a qubit unitary operation. And in this case, there exists a deterministic and exact protocol to implement its inverse operation, basically. And this protocol utilizes the input operation 4 times. Okay. And quantum circuit implementing this unitary inversion is basically written like this. So here, phi in is some arbitrary input state, and the green boxes input is U in represents the input integer operations. And this psi minus and zero and V1 and V2, some blue boxes represent the fixed states and the fixed operations. And as a result, we obtain the output state, which is given as U inverse phi in. And this means that we can implement the inverse operation because we can apply inverse operation on any arbitrary input state, so which means that we can we succeeded to implement the inverse operation. Also, and as a byproduct, we also obtain some auxiliary output states like this. And here, this psi minus is defined as an anti-symmetric state. And this psi u in is defined as a basically choice state of the u in. Okay. And if you look at this quantum circuit very carefully, you may find that this psi u in also appears in the input side. And this fact is actually very important in following discussions. Okay. Okay. Okay, and I will continue explaining the circuit structure of this one. And if you look at the entry part of this circuit, you may find that this protocol is composed of two repetition structure. So basically, given as U in V1, U in V2, and repeats twice. And if you open up this fixed interoperations, this is composed of the interoperation called the Krebs-Gordan transform, which is related to the intergroup representation theory. And yeah. Yes, this. And okay, I will then go on to how we can show that this works. Okay, and to show, okay, and our goal is to show that the output state is given like this. Given this circuit. And we consider the following operation. So instead of showing this equality, we insert U in and U in inverse on the input and output side. And then the input operation, sorry, the output state should be given like this, which does not depend on U in, whereas in this case, the output state depends on U in. And this is more easy to show.
Is this a different circuit or it's a reformulation of the same one?
This is just a reformulation. So inter-inversion circuit is this, and we want to show this one. But we just, so basically we need to show this equality. But we just consider the equivalent equation, which is more easy to prove. And also, we insert U in inverse and U in, which is just identity operation in between the circuit. And then this circuit, this equality becomes like this equation, where the input operation is V phi, and the output operation is W phi, and both does not depend on U in. And only the dependency of U in appears in the interoperation part. But if you define this blue box part as a GU in, then this also has a repetition structure. So what we need to show is that if you apply GU in twice on V phi, then it becomes W phi. And if you calculate very carefully, this calculation can be easily shown by some graphical representation. So since this V phi and W phi is some vector which has an inner product 1 over 2, which can be written in the real vector space as this. So some vectors which has which forms an angle pi over 3. OK, and if you calculate the action of GU in on this plane, we can show that this GU in is just a rotation by 5 pi over 6. And as you can very easily see, if we apply this operation twice, this V phi becomes W phi. So basically, this completes the proof. OK. And finally, I will explain about the characteristics of this protocol. And this protocol basically has two characteristics. One is on the catalyst, and another is on cleanness. I will explain these concepts. OK, first, I will go on to the why catalyst appears in this circuit. Okay. I showed the quantum circuit of the interim version, and as I explained, quantum state psi u in both appears in both input and output sides. So basically, we can reuse this quantum circuit again. And schematically, this is this quantum circuit can be written like this. So we are using four times of the u in, and as an output, we obtain the inverse operation plus quantum state psi u in. And if you run this quantum this protocol again, the first call of u in can be replaced by quantum state psi u in. So we can reuse the output psi u in again to the another round of interim version. As an output, we also obtain psi u in again. So we can repeat this structure again. In this sense, we can call this quantum state psi u in as a catalyst state because it does not change before and after the protocol. And actually, this catalyst really works because without this catalyst state, it is known that interim version is impossible. So actually, this is an example of the case where the catalyst works in a higher order quantum transformation. Okay, so then I will go on to the cleanness of the protocol. And also again, we consider this quantum state psi u in. And we look at this quantum state in a different perspective. Since this quantum state psi u in depends on u in, from the observer who does not know about the input neutral operation u in, this quantum state looks like a maximally mixed state. So if we want to initialize this quantum state to some fixed quantum state, we need some initialization cost, which is basically given as the entropy of the mixed state. So in this sense, this quantum state is not good, due to some symmetry, we can utilize a better way to initialize this quantum state. So if you apply u in on the second wire on this quantum state, due to the anti-symmetric property of psi minus, we can show that this quantum state goes back to the anti-symmetric state, which does not depend on u in. So we can basically initialize this quantum state using this trick, which means that if we apply extra call of u in to the protocol, then this auxiliary state does not depend on u in. So we don't need to initialize this quantum state. Okay. And in general, we consider this kind of protocol as a clean protocol. And the definition of the clean protocol is like this. We consider some function transforming integer operation to another integer operation. And we want to implement this function on a quantum circuit. And this quantum circuit is some pure quantum circuit, which means we don't trace out any system. And we call this protocol is clean protocol if the output auxiliary state does not depend on the input initial operation. Okay. And the clean protocol has two good points, basically. One point is that, as I explained, since the output state does not depend on u in, we don't need to pay an initialization cost to initialize this quantum state. And another thing is on the quantization property of the protocol. Okay. And what's the quantization? If we have some quantum protocol, which is shown to be clean, then by adding an extra control line of the protocol, we can show that we can implement the control fu in using a control u in. So if we can implement the, okay, for instance, in our case, since we implemented the interim version in a clean protocol, this protocol can be used to implement the control Ewing inverse, basically. So this kind of extension can be possible if we implement the protocol in a clean way. Okay, so okay, think I finally go on to the final part, which is basically how did he find this protocol? Because I think this procedure is very universal thing. Okay, and a basic strategy to find the protocol is to utilize some numerical exhaustive search plus some symmetry. Okay, and we utilize basically SDP framework, which was proposed in our previous work. So in this previous work by Marco Tullio and Daniel Ebola, the optimization problem of the approximation error of integer inversion is formulated as a SDP. And basically, we consider the, this value, so F average, and which is defined as okay. So here, C is some C like represents a higher order quantum transformation, and we consider the fidelity between Ewing inverse and the output operation of the this higher order quantum operation. And we consider the average value of this kind of protocol. And for instance, if C implements integer inversion perfectly, then this value should be 1. And in general, this value is less than 1. Okay. And okay. And to proceed the calculation more, we basically can utilize the Choi representation of the higher order quantum transformation. And a basic concept is like this. So in terms of the CPTP map, the action of the higher order transformation can be written as if you written like this, so in the left column. So if you like apply the higher order function, higher order transformation C on some input operation, we obtain the output operation. And we represent everything in terms of the Choi matrix. So the we define the Choi matrix of lambda in and lambda out as J lambda in and J lambda out. And since any transformation is linear, this transformation can be written as some matrix called a C, and we call it as a Choi matrix of the of C. Okay. And using this representation, this average approximation error can also be written as a linear function of the C. And basically, so it can be represented as a linear product of C with some fixed operator, omega. Okay. Okay, so basically, what we need to solve is the following SDP. But still, it's difficult. Because if you consider the size of C, then this the size of C exponentially grows with respect to the n. So,
Can you repeat if the SDP is an approximation or it's exact provided we can solve it?
Yes, so basically we consider approximation, but so this SDP is optimization of the approximation error of integer inversion, and if this approximation error becomes zero, then it is exact. So as a solution, we may obtain exact solution. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So due to the exponential growth of the size, previous work has calculated this SDP in numerical way, but the case is very limited. So we only know the three cases of this SDP problem. Okay. So to reduce this complexity, we consider the symmetry of the problem to proceed more. Okay. And to see the symmetry, basically, we can consider integer group symmetry. And the concept of integer group symmetry can be easily understood from the following operation. So we consider some circuit which should implement the integer inversion. So this purple boxes represent some quantum comb, and this we assume that this transforms U into U inverse. And if we assume that, then we can also show the following thing. So first, we replace U in as a V U in W by inserting some integer operation V and W. Then, since this protocol should implement the integer inversion for any integer operation, the output operation should be given as the inverse of V U in W, which is and if we expand this, then basically this is a V inverse V U in inverse W in inverse. Okay. Then we next insert V and W to the whole circuit. So what we obtain is in the right hand side is again U in inverse. So which means that the left hand side circuit implements the integer inversion for this green box. So this thing implies a integral symmetry of the protocol. And if you like write this one in a CHOI representation, this can be written as an integral symmetry on the CHOI of the quantum comb, presented like this. And if we have some symmetry, we can reduce the degree of freedom using the Shirawai duality. So the Shirawai duality is like this. So if some operator commutes with V tensor N for any integer group, then it should be represented as a linear combination of the permutation operators. So in our case, since we have two integral symmetry, C should be written as a linear combination of the tensor product of the permutation operator. Okay, and using this one, we can reduce the degree of freedom. And using this concept, we extended the numerical calculation in the previous work to these cases. And especially for the case of D equals 2 and N equals 4, we find the deterministic exact integer inversion. Okay. Just for some quick remark. So first thing is that if we are given some CHOI matrix of the quantum comb, we can implement the quantum circuit. And that is how we proceeded to implement the integer inversion protocol. And also, this kind of reduction of SDP using integer group symmetry is systematically studied in the paper by Dmitry Grinko and Marie Sozos in this paper. Okay, and also, we finally show the numerical calculation result of the SDP because, you know, this SDP not only works for exact case, but also works for approximate case. So we can basically obtain the optimal fidelity of the integer inversion protocol. And in SDP, we consider three cases. So one case is a parallel protocol where the input operation is called in parallel. And the second case is a quantum comb case, basically. So it's called insequential. And we also consider the indefinite causal order in our calculation because it's just a matter of, we can easily extend our framework to indefinite causal order case. So we can easily calculate this kind of case. And if you calculate the SDP, we obtain this kind of figure. So each color represents the dimension of the integer operation. And the x-axis represents n, and the y-axis represents the fidelity. So basically, this shows the growth of the optimal fidelity with respect to the number of calls of input operation. And each line, like a solid line and dotted line and dashed line, represents each strategy, so parallel or sequential or indefinite. And if you look at this one, basically, what we can show what you can see is that, in general, so indefinite causal order beats everything, and sequential beats parallel. because indefinite causal order one includes every cases, and the sequential one is more general than parallel case. But if you go to some cases where the n is small enough, then in some cases we don't see any advantage of the indefinite causal order. So this kind of structure can also be shown from the SDP calculation. Okay, so I think it's a good time to wrap up, maybe? Okay.
You have more time if you want to say more things, but.
So I thought if I had time, I can also explain about the isometric case, but maybe I can just wrap up here and yeah. Okay, so I go into the, future works sections. Okay, so this work basically implements deterministic and exact integer inversion protocol for the case of d equals 2. And most like a straightforward question we need to consider is a generalization for the higher dimension case. But it's still open. And what we need to consider is that, okay, first, is it possible for arbitrary d? And also, we need to consider the minimal number of n needed to implement the deterministic and exact integer inversion, if possible. And from our case, we conjecture that n is should be greater than d squared. And so this implies that if we consider the d equals 3 case, for instance, n should be 9. But RSDP's technique only works up to n equal 5, because if n grows, RSDP is still complex, so we cannot numerically solve. So we think that to proceed more, we need further simplification of the SDP using another technique, or we need to systematically understand our protocol, but both are still remains open. Okay, and also, we propose that catalyst can work in our higher order quantum transformation. And basically, the concept of catalyst can be easily extended to general higher order quantum transformations, which is like we are given some, for instance, if you consider integer operations, we are given some uin plus some quantum state psi uin, which includes the information of uin. And with catalyst, this transformation is possible, but without catalyst, this transformation is impossible, this kind of stuff. And what remains open is that how catalyst helps in other tasks, for instance, conjugation or transposition or whatever. And also, since a catalyst is related to asymptotic setting in resource theoretical setting, it's also interesting to consider the relationship to asymptotic setting in our case. Okay, so basically this is the summary of this talk, and if you're interested, you can find our paper in this QR code. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for the talk. So, let's have some questions.
Mm-hmm. So is the fact that the input is exact copies of something a useful symmetry for this?
Yes. Usable symmetry? Yes, actually, it very works. So basically, a symmetry argument works because we are using copies of uin. And if you insert a different uin, then you need to, for instance, if you consider uin and uin prime, then it's not trivial what kind of operation should be inserted. So yeah, this very works.
But this works for the inversion, no? But if you have a different task, you still have copies of the input, but the symmetry might look different then.
Yes, so it depends on the function we need to implement. But depending on the function, for instance, this kind of symmetry argument also works for conjugation or transposition. And depending on the function, we consider different symmetry. But basically, this kind of symmetry argument works for very high, general class of functions.
I have another question, but more general about the functional approach. Is there a minimal set of functions you want to find, and from these, you know, you can do everything, every higher order channel, right? Like universal basis for quantum.
I think that is a very interesting question, but as far as I know, there is, at least for quantum case, we don't know such kind of example. Yeah. Yes, maybe. Yes, please.
Do you have any intuition of why do you need four uses of the unitary?
Okay, so this is just intuition, but we think that this is related to the degree of freedom of the unknown interoperation. And if you consider the SU2, it can be parameterized by four parameters, right? And we think it is related to the inter-inversion case, because basically what we need to do here is that without knowing these four parameters, we need to implement the inverse. So it should be some relations. Yes.
If you go back to the slide where you have vectors v and w,
yes.
You know, the graphic representation.
Yeah. Ah, yes. Mm-hmm.
So v and w don't have u,
mm-hmm.
but g does.
Yes.
So g is turns out to be some kind of a rotation by angle, but it doesn't depend on you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Do you have an intuition why that is?
Yes, so this intuition basically works from some representation theory stuff. So basically, in this G U in, we have three cores of U in and one core of U in inverse. And basically, the independency of U in comes from. So this U inverse cancel out these three cores of U in. And if you consider U in tensor 3, and for the SU2 case, we have, so SU2 corresponds to some spin representation. So if you consider three cores of SU2, which means three spins, basically. And if you consider three spins, we have a spin 1/2 representation, right? And this representation is basically identity representation. And so U in tensor 3 and the identity part of, sorry, U in identity representation part of U in tensor 3 cancel out to this one. Yeah.
Maybe related to the previous question, so this is still a conjecture that four calls are at the minimum.
For the D equals 2 case, at least numerically, we have confirmed that three calls is not enough to implement exactly. So it's kind of not analytical proof, but numerically it's somehow, we have confirmed that.
How do you do that numerically?
Yes, so basically numerical works also utilize SDP. So what we need to check is that for the n equals 3 case, this optimization problem gives a value less than 1.
Any more questions? Oh, okay, well, let's think. Thanks, Hatoshi, again for a very nice talk.
Thank you very much.
Great to finish, not 1 hour later.